Now, having read this account of the three men with the numbers of talents, one with five, one with two, and one with just one, and, of course, the conclusion of the matter, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What we can conclude from this is that God loves faithfulness, and God loves to honor faithfulness. Of course, he honored his own son. He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And the Lord Jesus came into the world to do the will of his Father, and all of his days he served his Father with all of his heart. Now, you'll notice in this story that faithfulness is not based on largeness. It's not based on how many talents you put to work, but it's what you do with the talents that God gives to you. The man who was put to work as two talents was commended just as the man with five. It was the fellow who buried his talent that was eventually cast out. And this has to be the chief mark of our ministry. In Luke 16:10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Now, the first mention of a faithful man in the Bible was Moses. And we read in the book of Numbers 12, "My servant Moses is not so." Now, that means he did not join the murmurers and the rebels who complained against God, "who is faithful in all mine house." Now, the Hebrew word for faithful means to build up. He was not one who was tearing down and destroying, but to make good use and to build with what he was given. And Moses is held up to us as an example of a man who was faithful in all of his house. The quality or the character of faithfulness is not optional to God's servants. In 1 Corinthians 4, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So here is bottom line. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to use your life to witness for God, you need to be found faithful. You need to be a builder and not a wrecker. You need to be edifying, not discouraging. Now, how does this affect us today? This really is God's answer to those who will sell out the Bible to build the biggest church. It's not how many you produce, it's what you do with the talent, the charge that God has given you. And it's God's answer to encourage those that have small ministries, like ourselves, a small church. We have not a whole lot of people. But here is a word to encourage our hearts that God is not just looking for many, many great talents, but he wants to see us faithfully using the talents, the charge that he has given. So God's approval is not on bigness, but on faithfulness. And this changes everything for us as we serve the Lord. What we do with the talents, what we do with his word and the gospel that he has given us, that's altogether important. And what we certainly learn here, and we note this in verse 29, we must not bury them. This fellow who was given one talent, he claimed that he thought his master was a hard taskmaster. And so out of fear, he just buried his talent and put it underground. Indeed, that man who buries his talent will be cast into outer darkness. If you look at verse 29, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." So I would have to conclude that this represents the person who's not really converted, not really a Christian. He's not really living for God. and he has buried the whole thing. He's not making use of the light and the knowledge and the gospel as he ought. And God expects every Christian to be faithful. God expects us all to be building and using the knowledge, the gifts, the privileges that we have been given as children of God. Sloth and using religion for convenience is the mark of those who don't walk with God or even know the Lord. And of course, these things are rampant in our society today and the life of many churches. We have to ask, where are the workers? Where are those who are putting to use the gifts, the talents that God has given? Where are the soldiers of the faith that are willing to do battle for God? And where are the men and women who take on the task of serving God in their hearts? Now, Solomon asked, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? And in every generation, faithfulness can be a rare commodity. And this is certainly the cry today. We need faithful believers in churches. And of course, it's true also in the workplace. And so this is our subject tonight. We're going to look at faithfulness. We're going to look at it in four ways. We have firstly the basis of faithfulness, the marks of faithfulness, the grace to be faithful, and the blessings of faithfulness. The first one then is the basis of being faithful, and it is really based on the character of God. Now, in this series that we're doing on godliness, we're taking what are the characteristics of God himself, and if we are going to be God-like, then that quality that's in God should be in us to some degree. And one of the characteristics of God is that he is faithful. Now, in the New Testament, the word faithful has the meaning of trustworthy. He can be depended upon. Dependability would certainly be included in that. His word can be taken to the bank. You can trust God all the way. And we know that God doesn't work on a whim. He's not concocting the plan for tomorrow at midnight tonight. He's working from an eternal decree, which he has in place from before the foundation of the world. And God is going to do his will, and he'll work it out his way. God can be trusted. Now, this can be reinforced by the covenant of the rainbow. We're in the time of year now where we just might see a rainbow. If it was to rain when the sun is in the background, we will see that rainbow. The reminder of God's covenant never again to judge the world by a flood. And how faithful God has kept that. Built into that covenant to Noah was also the covenant of seed time and harvest, night and day. And all of these things God has kept right through. In creation, God has created the boundary of the seas and the oceans. And while the tide goes in, what is it, out and in twice every day, with absolute regularity, and you can go and get the chart for the high tide, the low tide, the time and the season according to the moon. All of that so predictable. Why is it predictable? Because God is faithful, keeps everything in motion. There's another area of God's faithfulness we looked at recently, and that was to do with temptation. That God is faithful, he will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. And the hope of the Christian, the comfort of the Christian, is that in our walk of life, we have God's protection, and he is faithful as our guide and keeper to watch over us. He rebukes the devil, And he says, no more. So far and no more. And thereby God demonstrates his faithfulness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:3, we read, but the Lord is faithful, who will keep you from evil. We can plead that promise. The Lord is faithful, who will keep you from evil. And if we want to be delivered from evil, if we really want to be delivered from evil, we can lean on that promise of the Lord. And then if you're in Thessalonians, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 and verse 24, and it talks about the Lord keeping us until the day of Jesus Christ. And again, it refers to God's faithfulness. He will keep us. And then in 2 Timothy 2:13, if ye believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Now, we can fail and we can stumble and our faith can grow weak, but the Lord abideth faithful. And godliness, God-likeness, means that we be marked likewise with this character of being faithfulness. And so I note that my faithfulness can only be as good as God's, and that by his power working in me. If I'm ever going to be a faithful man, if I'm going to have this characteristic of God in my life, I'm going to depend on the Lord to work this within me. So we want God to get a hold of us. And when God converts us and God sanctifies us and God puts his Spirit within us, he puts this mark, this characteristic of faithfulness, loyalty, dependability within our hearts and our lives. This is a great truth. The basis of our faithfulness as Christians is the Spirit of Christ, the power of Christ, living, dwelling in us. So our prayer is that we will become more and more like God. And I want my life to be aligned to him, and I want his power and grace to work this faithfulness in my life, because I want to please him. I want to walk in his will and bring glory to his name. Now that means that laziness, carelessness, which I think is the opposite to faithfulness, laziness and carelessness, you will pray against. You will say, don't let that spirit take over in my life. Let me be up and doing. Let me be a worker with the talents that God has been pleased to give me. And let me use them for his glory. Don't want to be like that man who buried the talent. I don't want to put that talent underground, bury it, and do nothing with it. And thereby show that I don't have the power and the blessing of God. And so I think that is the basis of our faithfulness. And the very desire to be faithfulness is God-given. It is a work of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. And I trust that we be a people who are marked with faithfulness. We come now to the marks of the faithful. Now, if we start with this parable of the talents, we soon discover the marks of the faithful servant. The two who were commended for their faithfulness, what do? They put their talents to work. They labored to make increase and improvement of them. And so that when the master returned from his journey, when he came back and called them to account, the one who had 5 talents, he gave 5 more. He had 10 talents. The one had 2, he had 2 more. He produced 4 talents. And no doubt they received the well done of their master. Now, this management of the talents is the work of the good steward. And I think you'll agree that the word steward, management, working with the talents, is the whole picture that is given here. And it's all to extend the kingdom. All to extend the kingdom. Because the parable begins, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man. This is about the kingdom of heaven. And God gives us talents and we're to put them to work and we're to use them. Now, if you turn with me to Luke 16, verses 1 to 2, you will see the opposite to this good management, this good stewardship. In another story, it says there was a certain rich man which had a steward, a manager, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, "How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship." And so you can see that the good use, the careful management of those gifts, those talents, is the very mark of the faithful servant or steward of God. Now, the gospel is the treasure that God has entrusted us with. We have in our Bible not only the great gambit of truth, creation right to the end of the world, but we have redemption, the promise of God's saving power to sinners. And there has been entrusted to us as the church, as Christians, members of the church, those that labor for God and serve God in this church, we have been given this charge to be good stewards, to manage well, to labor for the kingdom and its extension. And one day we will give account. The story here is the picture as of the owner, the master, traveling on a long journey, and he's away a long time. And that, of course, equates with our Lord Jesus, who's gone to glory. He's coming again, and he's going to call his servants to account, and we must give answer for our stewardship. Now, I want us to look at four marks of the faithful Christian, the faithful steward. Firstly, the faithful man, woman, is loyal to obey God's word, to obey God's word. This has to be the very first mark of a faithful Christian. They can be trusted and left to it. Now, notice in verse 19 that this master is away a long time. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. There's nobody cracking the whip. There's nobody standing over them, micromanaging their every act and deed. They are left to it. They are expected to be loyal servants, staying at the task, doing all that they can to promote the increase of those talents. And loyalty is the key. Indeed, loyalty is the key in every act of service, in the church and out of it. The disloyal servant, the treacherous servant, the rascal that once you turn your back, he's doing his own thing and not his master's will, you can't leave him to the task. What estate owner would allow such a servant to continue in his task? No wonder we read that in verse 30, "Cast out, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." And that makes me to realize that the person who will do nothing with the gospel, who makes no use of the gospel, is not really a Christian. It makes us to realize that the mark of being really converted is that you become faithful, a good steward of the gospel. Now, the faithful man will come to the second mark now. He will make good use of his time. Let's dwell on that for a moment. The master went away for a long time. But as in all major works, it takes time to produce fruit and increase. They had to make use of that time. How are we tonight as Christians making use of our time? I think this begs the question. Do we use and give as much time to God as we do to watch television? We have time for many earthly things and activities. It seems to be the order publicly, I qualify that way publicly, that for many it's at most 2-3 hours on a Sunday morning, and that's it. Don't ask much more. could we call such good stewards? Now, I'm preaching to the converted here tonight. You have obviously given this day to God by coming back to God's house, and I would say the Lord will commend you for that. You are making use of the Lord's day that He has given. This day is a gift. There are nations of the world where the Lord's Day, what we call the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, is a day of labor and burden and pressure. And here we have a gift from God. We're to make use of that. What about volunteer time? If we asked you about volunteering your time to the extension of God's kingdom, would you be willing? Would you rejoice if you could do it? There was an opportunity that you could enter in and engage in some work for God? Or would you shy away from it and said, well, that's just not going to work in my agenda. My calendar's too full. I think the answer to that would tell you a whole lot about stewards. Good stewards have to be willing to give the time, the commitment, and the effort to it. And I think that every church should be populated with good stewards. That's what every church should be. It should be a band of people who, everyone, are good stewards with God's grace, good stewards with the gospel, good stewards with the privileges that we have as Christians. I note in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, when the apostle writes to the Christians at Ephesus, he writes to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so in Paul's mind, he's writing to a congregation made up of people who are known to be faithful. Can there be any other kind of Christian? Can you call yourself a Christian if you're not faithful? If you're careless and have no interest in promoting the gospel? Can you call yourself a Christian at all? But here is this mark that the apostle notes. The third mark, the faithful man will labor for the honor of his master, not for his own glory, not for his own convenience, but for his own glory, but for his master's glory. And I think that's what you see here with the man who had 5 talents and 2 talents. They served their master. They increased the talents that were given from him. And that should be the mark of the church. We don't want to be the Laodicean church that would become rich and self-complacent, and the Lord said that he could spew them out of his mouth because they were neither hot nor cold. They weren't really living for the Lord zealously. There are many that throw the towel in because they don't get recognition in the church. And you know that in church life, this is always a balancing act. We need to be careful that we don't offend people that want recognition. And I think that such have lost sight of the real purpose of the task. And we might be working in a very obscure way, unnoticed, unappreciated by men, but our labor is not to be given the praise of men, but it is for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Mark number 4, the faithful man will labor to his own hurt. I touched on this morning about the person who will swear to his own hurt. When he enters into a deal and it goes sour on him, he'll keep his word. He will honor his commitment. And when it comes to serving God, there's always going to be sacrifice. It's going to require that we take the road of commitment and sacrifice, and that we step out for God. We wouldn't want to be like that captain of the Costa Concordia. Whenever the ship began to sink, he ended up, well, he says that he fell overboard into a little craft, and somehow he got to shore while the ship was still sinking and others were perishing on the ship that he was captain of. No one thought too highly of him. And then the captain of that vessel in South Korea, he was arrested afterwards. He somehow escaped with his life, But no commitment to the ship and to the task. Here is the Christian's mandate. Loyalty. It's a very important quality, loyalty. We read of Daniel. He was loyal to God when he was threatened. He still went and prayed 3 times a day, opening his window toward Jerusalem. When he was threatened with the lion's den, he would not betray his God, and God did not betray him. He was faithful unto him. And to be a faithful man or woman, like God, then you have to train yourself, give yourself to loyalty. Loyalty to the truth. Loyalty to the gospel. Loyalty to the Savior. Loyal to the cause of Christ. Reliable in practice. You can be relied on. Given a task, you'll be there to do it. Punctual. When the time for duty calls, you're there. Willing and ready to assist. Willing, glad to do it. Going the second mile. Be a worker. Carry the load. These are all aspects of being faithful, being a pillar in the church. And they are certainly qualities that we would look for in an elder or a deacon or any that would serve the Lord in his church, that they might show that mark of faithfulness. But it applies to every Christian, as we learned there in Ephesians 1:1, the faithful that be in Christ Jesus. Now, I think we should search our hearts tonight. We pray, Lord, make me godly. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a strong Christian. Well, here's an area that needs attention, the area of faithfulness. We could not worship a God who is not faithful to us. Can God use us if we're not faithful to him? And these are areas that we need to take to heart. But thankfully, there's grace to be faithful. It's not left to our own strength. It's not left up to ourselves. But God's grace is at work in us. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now the verse prior to that, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, faithful is he that will do it. So God's faithfulness is not just a model, but it is grace that's bestowed. It's power that is given, and it's help that is given to us. It's a bit like a kindergarten teacher who, for weeks perhaps, has been giving a project to the boys and girls. And she provides the material, she tells them what to do, she even sits down in their little chairs and she helps them to do it. And then when the project is all over and they put all these little items on display, they get marked and they get rewarded by the teacher. But all the while, the teacher really has done all the planning and all the guiding and all the helping. And where one child was in trouble, she went to that child's aid and fixed it and got them on track. And there they are now to be present, taken home to mom and dad and to be gloated over. God's grace to us is like that. He tells us what needs to be done. He gives us the talents and the gifts to do it. He comes to our aid to guide us. And when we're in trouble with it, he gives us the strength and the power to overcome. And then he rewards us. He rewards us. That's grace. That's God's grace. Now, this is a wonderful thing. And when you feel like giving up, you go to the Word of God and you claim his promise. You claim his help. Isaiah, for example, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And he promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so the faithfulness of God becomes our strength. It becomes our support. And when we are serving God, we don't do it in our own energy and our own wisdom, but we learn to lean on the Lord. Now we come lastly to the blessings. You see that these men who were faithful in their task, they produced double the number of talents, and there were great rewards. In verse 23, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." So there's an earthly reward. There's an immediate reward. Because you've proven yourself to be trustworthy. You've proven yourself to be loyal. And you have done well with those few talents I'm given. I'm going to give you more. That's a principle of life. We do that with our children. We do that with an apprentice when he starts out on a career or some trade. We do that with volunteers. And God does it with us. And if we are found faithful in the little, he will make us then to be rulers over many things. But there are also heavenly rewards. Verse 21, the Lord said, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And really, this is the careful care that we make with the gospel. This grace of the gospel, this salvation of the gospel, we want it to do its work in our hearts. We want it to change our lives. We want it to change our hearts. And now that's going to be the criteria of honor. Rewards are given for great works, not for just great works, but for faithfulness. And when we put that to work. Now, what a wonderful encouragement this is, because it encourages the housewife who may be struggling in the home, raising children, caring for the home, caring for her husband. And she may feel, no one ever sees this. This is just drudgery. But in the scale of God's talents and your faithfulness to the station in life God has placed you, every day of faithful labor, God rewards. God sees and God rewards. It's true for the businessman. And in business, you may be struggling to be honest against the competition that might be corrupt and undercutting you. And you may be saying, "I'm having a hard, hard go at running a business, trying to do it honestly." But God sees that faithfulness, honoring God and his word, maintaining a Christian testimony in business at a cost, at a high price. And there will be rewards for that. It's certainly true for the missionary. And he goes off to the mission field, and it's the hardest, hardest place than he could ever have imagined. And he gives the best years of his life to serve in a foreign place, to preach the gospel, and the converts, they may be next to none. And he wonders, what am I doing here? What am I throwing my life into this for so little fruit? But God sees. And it's not the number of talents. It's the faithfulness with what God has given. Think too of our Sunday school teachers. You may say, what are these two or three boys or girls in my class? But every Sunday, every week that you bring a lesson, teach them, guide them, coax them, encourage them, and put up with all their little antics, and you seek to sow that seed of the gospel in their hearts, you might say, who cares? God cares. And he marks the faithfulness, and he sees the effort, the devotion, the love, the faithful service that's put into it. I'm reminded of that Scottish Sunday school where a teacher had just one boy, and the teacher wondered, was it worth it? Turned out to be Robert Moffat, the missionary. And for whatever years she had him in her Sunday school, she had a part in his training, a part in putting the seed of God's word in his heart. And that boy went off to serve God in Africa. To remain faithful in this world, we need to lean on the faithfulness of God. That's our strength. He will not fail, and He will not let us down. Now, God's timetable, we have to trust. These servants were working, and their master was on a journey for a long time. And I'm sure there were days they wondered, what's the point? But they kept at it. And there was a day when the Lord returned, when they were rewarded immediately and eternally. And the guy who put his talent in the ground made no use of the talent, was cast into outer darkness. There is a reward for serving Christ. And I have to remind myself of that. I have to recognize that the days I spend seeking to be faithful to God's word and the ministry of the gospel in this church, the ongoing week in, week out labor of that, God sees it. And there will be a day of reward. I trust there will be the day of growth and increase in the church, a day of God's visitation to multiply the fruit. But there's certainly going to be the day of account, and I will have to give account for my service if I have used the talents, the opportunities, and the ways of ministering God's word. And so that calls us to faithfulness. And you too must remind yourself from time to time that it pays to be faithful. And God will not hold us to X number of converts, but He will hold us to be faithful in every way of serving Him.